We've got breaking news. The DOJ drops a political indictment 2 months before the election.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo. Joining me in studio, executive producer Will Haynes. We got a packed show today. We're going to be joined by Harry Hutchinson, Christy Campagnani from the ACLJ, as well as Rick Grenell later on. So you want to stay tuned for that. And we are talking about sort of the breaking news that was coming out this morning about the Justice Department. They announced terror charges on who? On the leaders of Hamas, some of which are already dead. Does that feel like a political stunt to you? I think so. We're going to discuss that a little bit more coming up in the broadcast. I did want to take a minute right off the top to tell you, if you're listening or watching this live, we are monitoring the reports out of Winder, Georgia, of an incident, a shooting incident that has happened that definitely has involved a lot of medical attention and students. It seems like chaos right now. We're following it as much as we can. The governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, he's directed all available state resources to respond to the incident at Appalachia High School and urge all Georgians to join my family in praying for the safety of those in our classrooms, both in Barrow County and across the state. And that is in Winder, Georgia, about 7 miles, 8 miles from where I grew up. Just northeast of Atlanta, kind of headed towards Athens. So all of those people affected, we'll be praying for you and thinking about what's happening there. We don't have a lot of information, but we do know this is happening right now, and we will break in with that if deemed necessary. So I want to make sure off the top that we are discussing that. If we seem a little distracted, know that is why, that we are trying to follow this breaking news story. Doesn't matter what it is, another heartbreaking thing that's happening in our nation's schools. So we'll be following that closely. But I know a lot of you have tuned in right now to hear about this. And that's right, the Justice Department announced today the unsealing of terrorism, murder, conspiracy, and sanctioned invasions charges against 6 senior leaders of Hamas. Of course, a designated foreign terrorist organization. Here was a statement that came out from Merrick Garland. Said the Justice Department has charged Sinwar and other senior leaders of Hamas for financing, directing, and overseeing a decades-long campaign to murder American citizens and endanger the national security of the United States. On October 7th, which I don't know, it's about 11 months ago now, Hamas terrorists led by these defendants murdered nearly 1,200 people, including over 40 Americans. And of course, to put that aside, now we know that that includes one of the most high-profile Americans, Hirsch Goldberg, Poland, who came out, who sadly was murdered last week. This is a little political, a little too late. When you're 11 months past a big incident, Will, it feels like, you're seeing that. We saw it with Tim Walz. We're seeing it now with even the way Harris is talking, that Israel, this unabashed support of Hamas, maybe is backfiring on them a little bit. So now they're going to walk it back and find ways around it.
That's right. And what is largely a symbolic indictment, I have a feeling that, one, as the Biden administration pushes forward with a ceasefire deal, any sort of ceasefire deal, Hamas would certainly negotiate out of this indictment. But even if they were to be able to hunt them down and apprehend, I think Israel also has issues with these indicted individuals as well. It is just curious timing, and we'll get into that in the next segment with Professor Hutchison about dropping this indictment, unsealing it, just days after the tragedy in Israel where 6 more hostages were murdered as Israel was making an attempt to rescue them. They were executed. We talked about that yesterday. And now Merrick Garland goes out and gives a press conference about 6 individuals he's indicting 11 months after the events of October 7th. And also 3 of these individuals that are indicted, 50% of them, are no longer alive.
Yeah. It's just the truth of the matter. We'll be back with just a moment with Professor Harry Hutchison to break this down. And again, later on the broadcast, Rick Grenell is going to be joining us. And we're going to be discussing also a new issue the ACLJ is taking on coming up later. As like I said, we are monitoring those reports of a potential school shooting and tragedy out of the state of Georgia, in the northeast Atlanta, heads towards Athens area of Winder, Georgia. So we'll be monitoring that throughout the broadcast. I did want to thank you all for supporting the work of the ACLJ, as always. So if you feel so inclined, go to aclj.org. But thank you so much for supporting it. We got a lot of new stuff coming up. We're going to be discussing that later in the broadcast. Phone lines are open as well, 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. broadcast. We're joined by Harry Hutchinson in studio. Again, we're discussing our lead topic today, which is the Justice Department kind of symbolically announces terrorism charges against senior Hamas leaders, including multiple who have already been taken out. But again, this is a couple months before an election. They're seeing Israel start to shift in terms of topics. Obviously, we saw the horrible murder of six more hostages over the weekend, including an American, maybe the most prominent American. And when those moments happen, I hate to be the person to cry politics, but it just feels that way. Professor Hutchinson, you're joining us in studio. I want to get your take.
Well, I think your analysis is spot on. Keep in mind that the DOJ filed these charges in February of this year. They unsealed the indictment 2 months before a national election. So what the DOJ is trying to do, what the White House is trying to do, what the Biden-Harris administration is trying to do, is to show that they are tough when it's precisely the opposite of the truth. Israel will indeed go after these terrorists, and in fact has already done so. But the United States has been reluctant to do so, in part because the United States still blames Israel, at least in part, for the October 7th attack. So we have a situation where a terrorist group attacks Israel, and then we put the blame on the United States, and that approach is quite consistent with the Democrats' left-wing base. So essentially, Israel is blamed when it is attacked.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we want to play a clip from Merrick Garland. You can set that up.
That's right. So when this indictment was unsealed yesterday, Merrick Garland gave a press statement. It was on video. And so we're going to play a little bit of that here. But when you hear the things he's saying, it's things that we've been criticizing the administration about ever since they stepped foot in office. And it's almost as if he's describing the self-fulfilling prophecy of when you are tough versus weak on Iran, Hamas, and Islamic terror. Let's go ahead and play bite one.
Today, the Justice Department unsealed charges against Yahya Sinwar and other senior leaders of Hamas for financing and directing a decades-long campaign to murder American citizens and endanger the security of the United States. As outlined in our complaint, those defendants, armed with weapons, political support, and funding from the government of Iran and support from Hezbollah, have led Hamas's efforts to destroy the state of Israel and murder civilians in support of that aim.
When you hear that from the Attorney General, the funding from Iran, the material support from Hezbollah, and also the fact that they've had a decades-long campaign. Professor Hutchinson, these are the things that we've been talking about here at the ACLJ for decades as well, about the Pay for Slay campaign, where Americans ended up being killed, such as the Taylor Force Act came out of this. Taylor Force was a Vanderbilt grad student that was killed in Israel by a Hamas terrorist. And what happens after that? These Hamas terrorists get rewarded financially by the government. Whether they're killed, then it goes to their family. If they're in prison, the money goes to their family. There is a bounty on killing Israelis and Americans if you're Hamas. And we've been begging the government to do something about this for decades. Fortunately, you saw good measures happen during the Trump administration, the Taylor Force Act, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, the Abraham Accords, all things that would isolate Iran and strengthen the security of Israel. And then you see the Biden administration step in and undo many of those things, weaken our relationship with Israel, weaken Israel's relationship with the Gulf states. And you see what happens? October 7th happens. Now you see Merrick Garland listing off the issues that we have been criticizing this administration for enabling, and they're trying to, 2 months before the election, appear strong against Hamas.
I think you're precisely correct, and this particular indictment is really symbolic, but more importantly, it's really political, and it's all about appearances. Keep in mind that the United States government directly or indirectly under the Biden-Harris administration, has funded terrorist organizations. Keep in mind that the UN relief organization, individuals who work for that organization have been essentially working with Hamas in Gaza. Also keep in mind that the United States government has been funding Iran. And it doesn't seem like the Biden-Harris administration is prepared to stop because they are in desperate pursuit of what? A so-called Iran nuclear deal. And then Iran basically sends funds to terrorist organizations in Lebanon and in Gaza. And so I think at the end of the day, what we have from Merrick Garland is simply lip service. Also, one last point, we should keep in mind that the new Labour government in Great Britain has withdrawn licenses allowing the sale of British military equipment to Israel. So essentially, the West is blaming Israel for being attacked.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a call coming in that I think ties in perfectly. Michael is calling from Florida, listening on Sirius XM. Michael, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My point is this. I mean, Trump said that this would never happen had he been president of the United States. But let's just, for instance, take into account that somehow we did end up in this situation and Trump was our president. What do you think how his support for Israel would be right now?
Sure.
As opposed to
Michael, he worked. I'll say this. If you go back to anything with President Trump, and you may be a supporter, you may not be a supporter. It doesn't matter. If you go historically, look at the success that was happening in the Middle East, whether it was through the Abraham Accords, which was bringing the Middle East together for me the first time in my lifetime. You probably can find clips of me being very emotional on air about it because I never thought I would see it. I never thought I'd see where there was relative peace in the Middle East, where you could freely travel if you were Israeli, where, you know, in the UAE, they had Hanukkah celebrations, where all of these things were happening. Big moves were happening. Jerusalem becoming the, you know, being certified as the capital. All these were happening under President Trump. So take what you want or not from his administration, whether you liked it or not. If you want to say that we were safer, then I would say that there's almost no denying it. So whether it would happen or not, I don't think it would have happened because I think the response would have been extreme from the United States if you had President Trump in office. This war probably would not still be going on, by the way, even if it did happen, because I think the U.S. would have actually shown its true support. It would actually have stood up to what was going on in Hamas and realizing we need to get behind Israel in a way that we could. And it's not about endless wars and promoting these sort of, you know, proxy wars that I feel like is what's happened in the current administration where, you know, you're supporting Ukraine, but are you really? Well, we're going to do funds. We're not going to send troops. We're not going to do this. I don't think that would have happened under a President Trump.
I don't believe it would either. And once again, you saw Iran in a box during the Trump administration, something that they had been able to run wildly against American interests during the Obama administration. And then when the Biden administration got into office, a lot of those policies from the Obama administration were then revived under the Biden administration. And what happened? Iran, flush with cash, is able to continue their adventurism in the Middle East, which includes exporting terror. I do want to bring up, we have a statement from the Barrow County Sheriff's Department that local news in Atlanta was able to obtain. And it says authorities are currently on the scene of a school shooting at Appalachian High School. At approximately 10:23 a.m., officers from multiple law enforcement agencies and fire EMS personnel were dispatched to the high school in reference to a reported active shooting. At the time of this release, one suspect is in custody. Casualties have been reported. However, details on the number or their condition is not available at this time.
Yeah, this is an ongoing situation. It'll be more reported. We know, again, this is a shooting in Winder, Georgia, which is in sort of the northeast Atlanta area. Again, only a few miles from where I grew up. So if we seem a little distracted, that is why. These kind of reports that happen in America, especially right before you're going on air, It's just heartbreaking, and we got to do something about it. We are going to continue on. We have some new ACLJ topics to discuss coming up, but we also want to keep you informed and engaged on everything that's happening in our world. So make sure you stay tuned. If you're watching right now on YouTube or on Rumble, I'm going to encourage you to, if you're brand new, hit subscribe. And if you prefer this broadcast, if you like it already, if you watch every day, we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ, because not only do we do great legal work, we obviously do great media work, and we have an incredible team here doing that. So I want to thank all of them. You can do that by going to aclj.org. Again, you can become an ACLJ champion. That's someone who just says, hey, I'm dedicated to giving on a monthly basis. So you can be a champion of life, liberty, and freedom. Do that right now. Go to aclj.org. Again, we're going to keep you updated on the breaking news that's happening out of Georgia. We're going to take your calls as well. You can give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take your calls later on the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are monitoring, as I said earlier, casualties have been reported at an incident at a school outside of Atlanta, headed towards Athens in Winder, Georgia. Again, what appears to be another tragic school shooting. And we don't know a lot of the details, but keep all these families and really anyone who has students in the school system worries about this every day. Keep them in your prayers right now. So I encourage you to do that. We do want to shift gears because we don't have, again, a ton to report from that. But we are joined now by Christy Compagnone with the ACLJ, one of our senior counsels. And I wanted to, well, maybe you could set this up a little bit as well. The ACLJ is always at work, and we're always at work for you, whether that is fighting for your rights, your religious freedom rights, whether we're fighting against AI. It really depends on what we're doing here. And a lot of times, sometimes those two things can kind of converge, and it's kind of what's happening right now.
That's right, and if you're a regular watcher of this broadcast, you will hear stories like this often, because this is some of the core work of the ACLJ. But if you're new here, go ahead and subscribe on YouTube and Rumble, and stick around, because we have a lot of great content. We have a lot of great work. But Christy, we've over these last few weeks talked about many different clients of the ACLJ that have had issues with getting a religious accommodation at work. We know constitutionally that employers cannot force you to violate your faith by working on the Sabbath and making you pick your job over your faith. And once again, we have a new client, actually a handful of clients, that are seeing something similar happen at their workplace. Could you go ahead and just give us a brief overview of what's happening here?
Absolutely. So we are having to deal with Walmart, the largest employer in America. Unfortunately, it seems like there could just be a huge miscommunication, and we're hopeful that once they know about this and understand how it's impacting their employees, they'll be willing to work with us. But currently, they are implementing a new scheduling software that is doing automatic scheduling with AI. And what that has happened to our client, we have at least one client and several others that have contacted us that are all being affected, is they're told that if they are going to continue to have off their Sundays for church, that they're going to be dropped from this scheduler, this automatic scheduling system, and they're not going to be guaranteed 40 hours, even though they're full-time employees. And when they've reached out to their HRs and their supervisors, they've been told that they're sorry, there's nothing they can do about it because it's built into this software. So originally, we started with our first client actually writing his request for the religious accommodation to HR, and that has sat there for over 2 weeks with no response. So now we're going to kind of go a little bit harder with a bit more of a punch with an actual demand letter from the ACLJ, and here's to hoping that Walmart listens.
Christy, this is something that is unique in our practice here at the ACLJ, as that there are many different ways to approach these type of issues for clients. And we see clients that work at small companies, more mom and pop organizations, that the employer may just not be aware of the law. And many times those are resolved quickly as soon as we inform them of what the law is. And there's a clear path forward. You don't have to get into litigation, which can drag out. What we want is our clients to be able to practice their faith in accordance with the Constitution and U.S. law. But then you have the other side of this, the more complex side, where the corporate counsels at corporate Walmart are probably very much aware of the law, but because an organization is so large, that you're not always discussing or talking with the people at the very top, because they are the largest employer in America. You're talking about individual HR departments that may not have the ability to do anything about a corporate policy when something is implemented from the top down. And so once again, the expertise of the ACLJ are able to take on even these very complex, large organizations to be able to get religious accommodations for our clients.
Exactly. So what we're going to be putting into our demand letter to Walmart proper, the larger organization, as you stated, is that this is affecting more than just one person. This is going to be affecting employees across the entire country. And it might just be as simple as a misunderstanding or a misworking of their software that just will take a little, you know, a little time to fix to protect all of these people's rights. But I mean, we will make it very clear that the Supreme Court case from last year, Groff v. DeJoy, clarified what the standard is. And unless there's a significant loss to their finances in their business, they're required to accommodate these individuals taking these Sundays off. This is under Title VII. Title VII has been around for forever, but this new Supreme Court case last year made it abundantly clear that this isn't something that's going away. And in fact, it furthered the rights of these individuals, that unless there's a significant financial cost to Walmart, they're going to need to work with us.
Well, thank you, Christy, so much for joining us. I did want to make it clear, if you have a situation like this, maybe you work for Walmart, maybe you work for another company that's implementing similar situations. What, like Christy said, we're hopeful. This is an AI system. This is a system they've implemented. And once they're made aware of this, that they will take action with us. And I feel confident that they will. And I want to encourage, if you're feeling this same kind of religious persecution around the country, if you feel like, hey, I'm not having my rights defended, you go to aclj.org/help right now. Fill out that document. It's real simple. A few questions. Make sure your issue is within scope, and you're immediately assigned an attorney. Okay, this isn't just going to some, you know, nameless call center. You're going to be assigned to someone in our team. And of course, as always, all legal help is covered. You are not going to get a bill at the end of this. And that is only because we have the support of ACLJ donors, people that donate either daily, monthly, maybe just once a year. They write a check at the end of the year. It doesn't matter, because all of those are incredible helps to the organization. Of course, we encourage people to become ACLJ champions. Over 22,000 of you have already joined with us to become ACLJ champions. Those are people who give on a monthly recurring basis. Those who have it automatically set, charged to your credit card or PayPal or however it's situated. It's very easy. I encourage you to do it. Scan the QR code if you're watching right now, or go to aclj.org. If you're not watching us, by the way, this is the end of a first half hour. I know some of you lose us on your local radio stations after half an hour. Join us live broadcasting every day, noon to 1 Eastern. You can work out the time zone in your favor, or later on aclj.org, on YouTube, on Rumble. Just search for ACLJ. We're there. Facebook, X, broadcasting live each and every day. And then we put up all this great content without a paywall, all because we have supporters like you. We don't create an echo chamber here. We have supporters like you who then get this information out to as many people as possible. So I want to encourage you right now to not only support the work of the ACLJ. If you're brand new to the broadcast and you're watching online, I'm watching right now thousands of you that are watching on Rumble and YouTube, just those two outlets. I know, because I see the data, about 50% of you don't subscribe, even if you're frequent viewers. So you know what's a great free way to help the ACLJ? Hit that subscribe button. Hit that little bell. Follow us. Be a part of the conversation. 424,000 of you have done that on YouTube. Understand that is creating alternative media. Media that is often bringing in bigger numbers than some of your mainstream outlets like CNN. And in the election time, in a big year right now when there is breaking news, and when you really need the ACLJ more than ever, this is the time to do it. So again, support us financially, or if you can't, hit that subscribe button. I mean, it costs you nothing. It does a lot for us. We are monitoring still what is happening in Georgia right now. There has been a school shooting in Winder, Georgia. Looks like another tragedy, sadly, for America. And it is where we're at in this country right now. I want you to stop for a second. Pray for us. We'll pray for them. Pray for the family. Pray for anyone who has kids in school right now. This is your worst nightmare. This is what's happening around the country. We have second half hour coming up. Join us. Stay on if you're watching. We only have a 1 minute break. Go to aclj.org right now or give us a call at 1-800-684-3110.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo. Will Haynes joining us, executive producer in studio as well. We've got a second half hour lined up for you. Rick Grinnell's going to be joining us in the next segment to discuss a really interesting story. You know, maybe we'll break up some of the news that's happening right now. Has to do with our favorite governor, Governor Hochul. What did Governor Hochul do? Called you a clown. But guess what? One of her former aides secretly maybe working for a foreign government. So we're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment. We are going to be taking your calls also at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Join us live right now. Be on the air. 1-800-684-3110. I also want to talk about, if you're brand new watching right now, I know a lot of you just signed on. You may want to know what that DOJ drops a political indictment. Will, why don't you give me like a 30-second of what this is?
So the Department of Justice unsealed yesterday an indictment they're bringing forward against six leaders of Hamas, three of which are already dead. They're being charged with their connection for planning and plotting October 7th, which killed Americans, some say upwards of 40. We know that an American that was being held hostage by Hamas was executed by Hamas over the weekend as Israel tried to rescue them from one of the terror tunnels in Rafah. And this just all reeks of a political movement, a political indictment, a political announcement 2 months before the general election. Merrick Garland goes out there and is able to show that the Biden administration, with Vice President Harris alongside, are very tough on Hamas. They are bringing criminal indictments against them, three of which will not be able to defend themselves if they were to be charged. Yep, or
because they've already been eliminated. Let's hear from Andy McCarthy on Fox News earlier today.
Three of the six quote unquote defendants, I think, you know, in normal, sensible times, we call them alien enemy combatants, but three of the six defendants here are deceased. And the Justice Department had to know that, even though DOJ is not supposed to prosecute dead people, because you can't, they had to have known this as they were drafting the charges, because one of them was killed in March.
Right.
So
what was the point?
It's astonishing. It's more of a, well, it's a press release more than a charging instrument. It's supposed to demonstrate that Kamala Harris in particular is really tough on Hamas.
What do you think about that? I want you to give me a call. When you hear that they've announced these indictments and they're going after six leaders of Hamas, but when you know half of them have already been eliminated, likely by Israel, half of them, does this reek of politics to you? Do you feel like they are having to shift gears because they're seeing the protests are not taken as well right now that's happening on college campuses? What do you think? 1-800-684-3110, being just a couple months out from the election and just what? Under a week now from the first president, probably the only likely presidential debate between Harris and Trump. Again, trying to get ahead of any negative press. And we've seen that happen now time and time again as Israel has become maybe a little less hot button of a topic to the normal people of America. Yes, the fringe on the left is going to say that they don't support Israel and we need to be backing all this. And maybe they're not the fringe, but I think what you're seeing right now is that maybe they're more fringe than it looks like, because I don't know, sometimes the loudest voice in the room doesn't represent the majority of people. What do you think? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. I want to get a full bank of calls lined up, so when we wrap up this show, we get to hear from you, the most important voice in the room. Next up, we're going to have Rick Grinnell join us to talk about our favorite governor, Governor Hochul. What happened? I don't know. Maybe one of her top aides. Maybe wasn't doing some good stuff. Maybe was supporting a foreign government. We're going to be talking about that coming up. But give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. And of course, the tragic news that is happening right now, that I don't want to discount it, but if you are watching live right now, we are trying to cover what's going on in Georgia right now, part of the school shooting. We don't have a ton of information other than the suspect is in custody and there have been some casualties reported. Heartbreaking. Again, this happened just a few miles from where I grew up. So once again, hitting pretty close to home for us as the ACLJ family. So I'm going to encourage you right now to say a prayer for them and for their families and for everyone involved in this right now. And everyone, like I said, who has kids in school, worry about this each and every day. Rick Grinnell joining us. We get back. Welcome back to Secula. We're going to be joined in a moment by Rick Grinnell, having some connection issues, but we're going to have him call in because he could not hear us. We can see. He looks great, but could not hear him. Give us a call right now at 1-800-684-3110. We did want to talk about this story, which is not a funny story, but it's an interesting story, and that is that a aide who worked for both Governor Hochul and Governor Cuomo has been accused of being of working, I don't know, for China. China directly. And I love this. This is the headline from the New York Times. Will's making fun of it, but I just thought it was interesting. New York official charged with taking money, travel, and poultry to aid China. And the first couple paragraphs is all about the amount of duck that was provided by the Chinese consulate to be prepared duck. Now, again, that sounds like small claims, but that's just the small part of this. What really is that China, once again, it's been proven, it seems like, infiltrating high-level officials, especially in New York. And you remember what Governor Hochul called you. She called you a clown. But look what's happening in her own government.
Rick, why does it seem that the Chinese spies have such an easy time embedding themselves within the apparatus of Democrat politicians?
Well, let me just add one thing. I got to be careful here as the former acting director of national intelligence. I know a lot about this story and I might know a little bit too much. There's more to come on this. We have had a very serious problem with the Chinese dealing with local and state politicians. Sometimes those local and state politicians did not understand that they were dealing with, talking to, and negotiating with Chinese communist officials. And sometimes those state and local officials knew that they were dealing with communist officials. The intelligence community understands this. It's been a growing problem. I do know that there are reporters looking into this as we speak. And let's just say that, you know, in the Trump administration, we were clear-eyed about what was happening. If you remember, we shut down a consulate of the Chinese over this issue because they had infiltrated too much. I was a big advocate for being much stronger with our consulate in San Francisco. The Chinese consulate in San Francisco is has historically been a problem. And I think we needed to be much tougher with the Chinese on what they're doing. We know that we've got the Confucius centers all throughout America at our universities, and our university endowments and the funding that they get for research departments and chairmanships has been a real problem with how the Chinese have started funding some of those entities and programs. And so we've got to be much more vigilant about what the Chinese are doing. And I'll finish with this, is that, you know, it's clear to me that as America has been distracted by, you know, Joe Biden's mental acuities and the replacement of Joe with Kamala and a war in Europe and multiple wars in the Middle East, the Chinese are very happy that America is distracted. And that's what they want, and that's how they operate. When we're distracted, they come in.
Rick, I actually want to pivot a little bit from this topic. We'll get back to this topic. We had a call come in earlier that said, what do you think would have happened with President Trump? I know he says October 7th would never have happened, but what do you think would have happened? What if something like this was to occur? And of course, as you said, and again, this is not being just a Trump apologist and saying this, we know where things were headed in the Middle East. And again, we need to remind everyone, 4 years ago, we were not talking about these kind of topics. We may have been talking about what's going on in China because we were shutting it down when it was happening. We may have been talking about the Middle East because there was maybe what would be considered a peace in the Middle East for the first time in my lifetime. But how quickly we all forget.
Look, it's something that we need to constantly talk about, because I do think that there are a bunch of independent voters who are not focused on this race. And once we get closer to the election, when people realize that Donald Trump brought peace between Arabs and Israelis, some of the most difficult peace negotiations and outcomes that we've seen. When Donald Trump brought peace between Arabs and Israelis and dried up the funding from Iran to terrorists, that created peace like never before. We now have a situation where the Iranians are well-funded because of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And the reality is that that's how the October 7th war was launched, is through the funding that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris gave to Iran. Everybody knows this. The entire Middle East knows this. And so we need independent voters to understand that these terrible policies have consequences, and the consequences are war.
Rick, and I wanted to bring back up, you mentioned a consulate that was closed during the Trump administration. That was the Houston consulate for the Chinese Communist Party, for the government of China. But you mentioned that San Francisco is another problem area. You've mentioned that on this broadcast for years now, that these consulates are an issue. And that's the connection point that this government official in New York, the deputy chief of staff to the governor of New York, that was her tie point to the CCP, was through the New York consulate. And I think what we were concerned about with the beginning of the Biden administration was this complacency, this globalist view, this appeasement that we saw with our adversaries. We now know that Tim Walz is on record saying we don't need to see China as an adversary, even though that's not really our choice, because it's the Chinese Communist Party who's decided who the adversary is. But as you look at this, the growing issue, whether it be academics that are on the payroll of China, whether it be the Confucius Institutes that you mentioned, that don't just affect higher education, but even our elementary and middle and high schools that are public schools in the United States, how deep rooted is this issue, and how much more has it been able to grow over these last 3.5 years?
It's such a good question, Will, and I think it's pretty deep-seated. And the reason why it's deep-seated is because we have been distracted. We have not allowed our political system to really focus on what China is doing. And that needs to change. Many of the reasons why we don't focus on what China is doing is because we're distracted through wars. And that's the one thing that, if everybody remembers, Donald Trump was focused on China. He took on China, talked about the tariff problems that we were having. He was penalizing them. I can tell you, as U.S. ambassador to Germany, I was working on Europeans to support Donald Trump's squeezing of China. This can happen when we have fewer wars, when we don't have the crises of the Middle East and Europe. This is the benefit. We can work on other issues. And I'll add the Western Hemisphere. When you look at what the State Department has done in Central and South America, it's scary. They have supported very far left, this current State Department, the Blinken State Department. They've supported far left regimes and are spending money, U.S. taxpayer money, to support these far-left regimes. We've got to be able to solve some of these problems so that we can work on Asia, so we can work on Africa, so we can work on the Western Hemisphere. We cannot have a war in Europe and a constant war in the Middle East while China loves the fact that we're distracted.
Rick, thanks so much for joining us each and every week. We appreciate it. If you're brand new to the broadcast, by the way, I know a lot of you are watching right now on YouTube. We just saw a huge number spike, and you want to know what this title is about. We're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment. We'll talk about it a little bit more, so stay tuned if you're brand new. If you are brand new and you like the analysis you're hearing, I'm going to encourage you, or if you haven't just yet, hit that subscribe button. A lot of you are watching right now, and I'm going to ask you right now, and let me know in the comments if you've subscribed. Let me know if you've subscribed already, by the way, too. I really like to hear from you. And there's another way I like to hear from you, and that's by calling in. That's right. You may be a YouTube viewer, Rumble viewer. You may not be used to this. That's right. We take live callers on the air. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. We can discuss any of the topics that we've had on air today. Of course, we are leading with this topic right now. Of course, the DOJ decided to drop political indictments to go after who? 6 Hamas leaders, 3 of which are already been eliminated from this earth. Of course, it's happening. It's a big political stunt. We're going to take your calls. We got 4 lines open, 1-800-684-3110, and hear from as many of you as possible coming up in the next segment. So do that right now. And of course, as always, we are following what's going on breaking news-wise. And as we reported earlier, if you're watching this live, a suspect is in custody. There have been casualties reported at that school shooting in northeast Atlanta in the area of Winder, Georgia. So between Atlanta and Athens, just about 10 miles from where I grew up. So, of course, these are the sad state of affairs in this country. And this is what's happening. We got to make sure we stay on top of that as well. So we'll be covering that. Give us a call, though, 1-800-684-3110. Last segment of the broadcast, we're going to hear from you. Welcome back to Secular. We are going to be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. We got 3 lines open still. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Timothy in Alabama, who's watching on YouTube, who's been on hold the longest. Timothy, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think this whole thing with the DOJ is breach of political.
Yeah, let's restate this, Will, for those, because a lot of people are just joining us right now. They may have seen that headline, which was our breaking news that the DOJ had dropped political indictment. And of course, it reeks of political corruption. Of course, it reeks of politics, because that's what it is.
That's right. So the Department of Justice unsealed an indictment yesterday, and Merrick Garland, very high profile for the Attorney General himself to be the one to announce it, did so in a press availability to members there at the DOJ. And he announced that they are indicting, or have indicted, 6 members of Hamas for their role in planning and orchestrating the October 7th attack, which killed American citizens. And we saw another American citizen that was executed by Hamas just over the weekend. I want to play this bite from Merrick Garland. This is going to be bite 3. And this is something that I'm curious at how the Biden administration and the Harris campaign are going to parse this one out. Because obviously we've been talking about all show that this very much looks to be a very political indictment. That they are doing this. Andy McCarthy called it a press release instead of a charging document. 3 of these individuals are already dead. They've been taken out by Israel, in one case not confirmed Israel, being Haniyeh in Iran, but assumed to be Israel taking him out while he was visiting the new president of Iran. So for the first part of it, 3 of them are not going to be brought to justice in the United States anyways. Others probably will not as well. But I want to go ahead and play bite 3 and then try to figure out how the Biden-Harris administration and the Harris campaign will parse this out with the strong language of Attorney General Merrick Garland.
We will continue to support the whole of government effort to bring the Americans still being held hostage home. The charges unsealed today are just one part of our effort to target every aspect of Hamas's operations. These actions will not be our last. The Justice Department has a long memory. We will pursue the terrorists responsible for murdering Americans and those who illegally provide them with material support for the rest of their lives.
The Harris campaign and the Biden administration are pushing Israel very forcefully for a ceasefire. Israel has already agreed to the terms of ceasefire. It's Hamas that will not. But a ceasefire means that Hamas lives to fight another day. How can the Attorney General say that this is one part of our effort to target every aspect of Hamas's operations when the administration is currently pushing for a ceasefire that allows Hamas to survive to fight another day? You can't have both of these. Yep. You can't say that we are going to completely dismantle Hamas and target every aspect of their operations, and at the same time have an administration that is pushing for policy that will indeed not have that outcome. And you also see, and then we'll get to calls, because this, it just frustrates me a little bit, when you read the charging of these individuals, and it says that, so it lists the people, and then it says, others known and unknown, at least one of whom is expected to be brought to justice, brought to and arrested in the Southern District in New York, knowingly and intentionally combined, conspired, confederated, and agreed together and with each other to provide, quote, material, support, or resources as the term is defined by Title 18 U.S. Code Section 2339A(b)(1) to a foreign terrorist organization, namely Hamas, which was designated as a U.S. foreign terrorist organization on or about October 8th of 1997. Okay. So they're providing material support or resources for Hamas, a designated foreign terrorist organization. We're seeing Hamas flags paraded around Washington, D.C., New York, California. Where is the hard action by this Department of Justice about those that are praising Hamas in the streets of the United States? And not just speech, but actually vandalism and terrorizing students. It goes beyond speech of what these Hamas supporters are doing. So these people were providing material support and resources to Hamas. What about the people inside America right now? Where are you, Attorney General Garland, protecting Jewish students on campus?
Yeah, it's not happening.
Without leave.
Look, we only got a couple minutes left to get to a few calls. Maybe last second, if you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. Warren's calling line two. Listen on Sirius XM. You're on the air, Warren.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I see it as political because they left those names on. I think they assume that most people are ignorant about what's going on, names involved, and so they leave them on, makes them look better having six versus three.
Absolutely, Warren. It is exactly like you said. This is to go to the people who are not paying attention, because most people are not paying attention close as you are or as our listeners are, or people that kind of involve themselves in this as their work or what they're passionate about. They know most Americans are transiently political. You know, that's okay in society. It's okay in society for politics to not wrap up your whole life. I'd actually highly encourage it. However, there's also manipulation at hand when that happens. Because like Warren said, there are times when they can use that against you. Well, we're indicting six people. What does that mean? Absolutely nothing. What about those six people? Three of them are already been eliminated. Oh, some people have been doing this since 1997. 30 years almost. That's what's happening in our country right now. Let's continue on with some calls. Thank you, Warren. Mike's calling in New York about the situation going on in his home state. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, sir. How you doing? I just wanted to discuss what the Americans, like myself, have been feeling of a sophisticated and covert social engineering campaign that is targeting us from foreign military that is inside the U.S. Now, the government, finance sector, and other sectors have been targeted. And the foreign military actors inside the U.S. have deployed different types of strategies to come up with tactics to exploit the Democrat Party. Persistence in these kind of schemes, what happened in New York State,
they've been happening for a long time, Mike, and you are right. It is now consistent. It has been regular. We know there's everything like Rick Grenell said, where they're shutting down consulates, whether they got secret police forces. We know this is happening specifically in some of these big states.
That's right. I mean, this is political warfare by the Chinese Communist Party, and it's not new. Mike, you told the call screener the Chinese are patient. Yes, the CCP is very patient. That's why they embedded into academia in the United States. That's why they pay professors with wonderful fellowships and things of that nature, research grants. That's why the Confucius Institute is so impactful, because they are flush with cash and they spend it in American institutions to buy influence. And it's a long game. It starts in elementary school. In the United States, they have influence operations. This isn't new. It's not some wild conspiracy theory. It's the fact. And when you see it at the top in the governor's office in New York, you think, oh, my goodness, how did it get that high up? It's because it's been going on a very long time, for a very long time, for a very specific purpose.
All right. That's going to do it for today's broadcast. We weren't able to get to all the calls today. And, of course, as always, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. And we are our prayers are with the families and what's happening right now in Winder, Georgia, as there's been just another tragedy, another school shooting that has been pretty much confirmed at this point. And this is where we are. So again, I appreciate everyone who watched the show today, supported the show, subscribed, everything. I really appreciate it. Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow.